You're listening to the Philly Maker Faire podcast. My name is Laura Chanot.
And I am Valerie Chiguendo.
And I'm Jeremy DePrisco.
We're here celebrating the creators, builders, inventors, and artists that bring their visions to life at the Philly Maker Faire.
This week, we're talking with Mike Flynn, Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer at the Independent Seaport Museum.
Mike is a nonprofit executive specializing in museum education. During his time at the Independent Seaport Museum, he has overseen curatorial, educational, and other programming. In 2021, Independent Seaport Museum was voted one of the top 10 best history museums in USA Today. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. Excited.
Sorry, we're so happy to have you. I'm cutting you off.
All good.
Yeah, we are excited. We also want to mention that Independent Seaport Museum is a sponsor of the Philly Maker Faire this year. So we're very excited. We'll be hosting the fair at the museum, and that's going to be great. So one of our first questions is, so for listeners who are not familiar with the museum, do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, happy to do so. So Independent Seaport Museum has been around since the 1960s, moved to the waterfront in the 1990s. We are home to a variety of opportunities that connect to water. So there are two historic ships, submarine Bakuna, World War II diesel sub, plus Cruiser Olympia, who is very famous for two historical acts. One is firing the first shot in the Spanish-American War, May 1st, 1898. And another one is bringing back the remains of the unknown soldier after World War I to the final resting place at National Cemetery in D.C. So incredibly special ships on one end of the basin. We operate, especially in the summertime, tons of on-the-water programming. We do kayak excursions. You can come down around a paddle boats. A lot of fun stuff that happens on the water here. We do that. And then, of course, the museum building itself. We are about history. We are about science. And we're about community. And we have wonderful opportunities in the building for hands-on things for all ages to do. So I call it a blessing and a curse, honestly. It's a great thing. We have so many opportunities, but, you know, also that variety of things maybe can be challenging at times, too. But it's a great place to come down to at Pennsylvania if you haven't been here before.
So tell me some more about some of the exhibits that people can see at the Seaport Museum.
Yeah, we'll do. So the inside building in particular tries to connect people through water. So we have a lot of exciting ones. One is called Patriots and Pirates, Birth of the American Navy. We actually have a large rebuilt schooner from our actual boat shop in the building, which is also a cool experience to see. We think it's the largest model in the world. You can go by and check it out and learn just about how complicated it was in the early years of our country. We have a wonderful award-winning exhibit called Tides of Freedom, which talks about the African-American experience on the water, all the way from the earliest days of the city through to present day. And we also have one of my favorites, River Alive, which talks about the water quality, the area around you, what animals live in the watershed, some really cool interactives in that exhibit. But all throughout the building, there are different things to do, to make, to touch, to see. But, you know, those are some highlights, at least in my mind, of some of the fun things you can do here.
Yeah, it's a wonderful space. We did a walkthrough a little while back, and I guess some of it's been recently renovated and changed around a little bit. What would you like your visitors to take away from the experience after they visit the museum?
Well, we find it's our place in Philadelphia to really talk about the early history of the city and the water again connection to that. So city of Philadelphia, of course, you come, you think about, you know, the cheesesteak, you're going to think about Ben Franklin, you're going to think about, you know, the Revolutionary War, and all those things are here. But a lot of people don't really understand how our waterways work and the fact you can be on the water. So we do a lot with youth programs. Kids come down through the city and we'll build a boat in our boat shop in the summer. They will come down in the summertime. We have an ambassador program and learn about the water and teach kids about it. So what you get here that you don't get at most other museums is a real personal touch, I think, where you can come in and, you know, someone will greet you and say hi. But beyond that ticket person, you may run into a student who's excited to see you to tell you about what the acid level is in the river today. So, and we really love that part. If you go on the ships, we offer guided tours. You can have someone talk you through Bakuna and learn what it was like to live on a sub. you know, during World War II. And I think we can offer a real cool factor of real stuff, real stuff that you can't get anywhere else.
Cool.
Speaking of that, like sort of real hands-on stuff, let's talk a little bit more about that boat making workshop you mentioned earlier, because I think that's really cool. And I love sort of the looking back at the history as well as the making aspect that's going on in there.
Yeah, sure. So we have an actual boat shop called Workshop on the Water. And it's named that because when this building was built, the boat shop and the museum moved in the 1990s. So for a time as renovations were happening, there was an actual barge on the water that the boat shop were building boats on. That's why it's called Workshop on the Water. Got put into the building and it is a great asset. We're one of the very few sites really around the country who still build traditional wooden boats, and is a fantastic learning tool for guests, whether they're in for the day. We'll do some more formal classes like a boat shop 101 or metal casting, where you can come in on a couple weekends and learn. And as mentioned previously, the youth programs are great for that. You can really, really build on your math and science skills, and more importantly, your leadership skills by being on a team that's focused on trying to finish that boat by a deadline. It's really cool. It's really
cool. Yeah, I was like, you're making boats by hand in here. It's really fascinating. It's really, and the kids are into it. You can tell, like, they're happy in there and working.
That's amazing. I also heard you talk about the Tides of Freedom exhibit that you have. That was quite exciting for me to see. And I think, especially now, and I noticed your website had said something about telling these stories from the perspective of not the government, but the people. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't wait to come and see it, because I feel like there's, you know, there's books and history stories that I hadn't previously known about. Like, I'm reading one now, I'm thinking, I do not believe at my old age, I never heard about like Howard Zinn, People's History of the United States. Like, I'm only just reading that. So that was exciting. Could you tell us more about what that's been like, having that exhibit?
Yeah, absolutely. So that exhibition came about, it's curated by the African-American community in Philadelphia. So it was not us who so much did it, we partnered. So to make sure the stories were theirs, were accurate. Tukufu Zabari was the head curator, University of Penn professor, wonderful person to work with. So he really wanted to imagine a way that water could tell the story of African-American city of Philadelphia. So we split the galleries into four. The first region is when slavery exists in Philadelphia. And he made some artistic choices to become the exhibit, where certain things are unpainted wood, and that means they're either going to be shocking to see maybe, or a little controversial, but we wanted to be true to the story. So, you know, we give people choices. So the first gallery is, you know, a lot of bad stuff. What's it like to be on the slave ship? What would it be like to be auctioned off? And the story of Alice is there, which I won't go too deep into, but I love that particular story of Alice. She has a wonderful long life, how wonderful she could be as a slave. And it really just gets the brain thinking about what that life would have been like. She lives to like 116 years old, very trusted, knew William Penn, you know, but yet she was a slave her whole life. So like, and Tukufu is wonderful in the exhibit of asking what would freedom mean to Alice, you know, and through each of these galleries. The second one is a time when Philadelphia has outlawed slavery in the North. And there's some fascinating stories that happened right at the seaport's door, you know, about that leading up to the Civil War, and some success stories too, like James Wharton, very successful, prominent businessman and sailmaker in Philadelphia at the time. The third gallery is separate but equal. And then the fourth one is a reflection area about modern day times. And I will note, we are looking to re-engage with Tukufu right now. We're talking with him to maybe bring about a more updated version of Tides of Freedom to reflect more modern culture.
Amazing. Awesome.
I also want you mentioned another project that I really like when I was at the museum, the environmental, where you've got all the different sort of testing going on and like talking about the river and talking about the environmental parts of the river. And I didn't realize you actually had students involved doing studies as well. So I want to know more about that. I love it when the young folks get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. So the organization made a choice about 8 years ago to really focus on environmental education and look at the water nearby. And so, in great thanks to William Penn Foundation, we were able to be awarded funds to build what today is River Alive. And River Alive is a way to connect people to the water in different ways than pushing a button or, you know, so it's supposed to be active. So there's one big screen when you walk in, a continuum wall, and you have to activate these triggers, which kind of makes the watershed come alive. And it gives you a visual, strong visual presence of what actually lives in our watershed. And so that is great. So we have, it's kind of split in two. The first half is 7 or 8 interactives that identify you as an animal. It teaches you in a fun way about the water. There's a lot of art involved in that too. And the back end, we have 2 classrooms. We have a fisharium where students can come and learn a lesson. And we have a community area, which is where our ambassador program comes into play. So we started a number of years ago too. And what we really offer is summer jobs for Philadelphia youth. They have to interview, they come in, and they get trained and they learn about the watershed. They have jobs to do. They go outside and they test the water off of our docks. They will do demos each week to the general public, anything from looking through a microscope to identify what's in the water they collected this morning to, you know, dissections, which they love, by the way. They love and it's really wonderful because, I mean, and I'll say this too, you know, you can have a staff person there and they're with you for the summer and that's great, but there's nothing like having a kid who is kind of growing up with you and you see them come back a few years and they love the place. I mean, we've had students say this is our second home, and that's a really wonderful feeling. You know, the impact that we have with our ambassador program of, you know, having these students front and center. So when our guests come into the museum, they're talking to that 15, 16 year old kid who's sharing something they learned. They are so excited to do it. It's really great to see.
I love that. I do love that. I like that we have makers like that too, that we basically watched them grow up. You know, they were freshmen in high school and they're still submitting their new inventions, you know, and they're definitely grown like facial hair and stuff. You're like, oh my. And so, it's really lovely to see, you know, the inspiration, sharing the knowledge and what they're doing with other folks, because it just, it shows that they've learned something and that they're excited about it. And to me, it's like this, it's why we make a good fit, I think.
So what do you enjoy most about the work that you're doing?
For myself, in the position I'm in, it is wonderful to see things grow and to help others do the things they want to do. So if someone has a new program or idea, working with them to make it become reality. There's so much fun we have here and so much opportunity, and that's the great part of it. We have 2 historic ships, you know, we have a whole level of water that we escape and go out of the basin, and we do kayak trips to Three Sisters, or we go to, you know, around Petty's Island, you know, so there's a lot of opportunity. You know, and that's what I enjoy the most. It's not so much individual, like, I like this or I like that. It's the joy of having success happen at the site and having people come and have a fun time.
Mm-hmm. Nice. It's so exciting. I love it there. It's so cool, like, being on the boats and by the water. I like being by the water. I'm a water baby, so I'm always happy by water.
Okay, now question about you. If you had to write a book tomorrow, what would you write about?
Oh boy, if I had to write a book. I'm definitely not a writer. So I wouldn't be a very good book. I have a personal interest a lot in the early history of the city. So we all talk about, you know, the time period of the revolution, but I love learning more about the time of before William Penn and the Native Americans, all the way through Lenin Lenape, through until 1776. I think that's a really untold portion of the city's history, and there's so much there. And some of our collection too reflects that. When they built 95, they dig up, find artifacts, sometimes they end up here, and then we use those to tell those stories. So that's, if I were to write a book, there's some authors who have written this already, you know, I would love to learn more about the early history of the city. Part of that too is our site. So you may not know, but there's Front Street, then you have, you know, Delaware Avenue, and then you have Penn's Landing where we're on. Well, Front Street's called Front Street because it was the front of the water. And it was kind of a cliff and caves at the bottom where people would go in. So William Penn decided there should always be public access. And he built staircases basically to kind of make it down from the shoreline to the water. And one set still exists. It's actually on Front Street, across from Dave and Buster's. But if you were to look at the seaport today in the 1700s, we're underwater. You know, there were two islands that were here in the 1890s, you know, to make room for bigger ships. So, you know, I find that fascinating that we're kind of all on man-made land all the way through over that past 200 years been created. And I just think that's visually stunning to share with people.
Oh, that's amazing. Next time I'm at David Buster's, I'll make sure to remember.
Across the parking lot where they're building that construction, and you'll see the steps. There is a historical marker there.
Nice.
Wow.
Very cool.
Amazing. How would you spend an ideal day?
For me, at the Seaport Museum?
Or in any context?
Any context? Well, I mean, here it's easy. You know, I would come down, you know, take a tour of the ships, go out on the water if it's a nice day, you know, and, you know, at nighttime, we partner with Liberty Point Restaurant too, which is at the site, and you can, you know, have a drink and watch the sunset go down. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I love to go and learn things. So, if I'm in a new city, I go find the historic sites, I go find the museum, I go find what I can learn. I love learning. I'll look up on Wikipedia just the history of the town I'm passing by on the road, you know, to see like why it's called that or the name. So I have a definite thirst for knowledge, and I love learning how things have come about. So that's what I would probably do.
That's amazing. You're in the right job then for yourself.
I was gonna say. It's good. It's perfect, actually. I'm totally going to go out of left field on mine and say, if you were going to have superhero powers, what would you choose?
Boy, superhero powers. I think I would love to travel back in time for that same reason. You know, there's so many historical events I just love to see. You know, not be there physically. I don't want to, you know, so much be there for real, but I think of, you know, the hologram world or something. But I would love to go back in time and just see some famous historical moments and, you know, to see what actually happened in a lot of ways. So that would be my superpower.
Nice. I don't know. I'm not surprised, but I wasn't expecting it. It's a good one. It's the perfect one. Also, perfect job, perfect power.
I remember I had a dream. I'm going off topic. I had a dream the one time about the French Revolution, and it was so palpable and poignant. I'm like, oh my God. Like, I have no idea if I was white or black or whatever in the dream, but I just remember being in the crowd. And it was fascinating. I was like, that would be cool if we could actually go back and watch.
Well, locally too, it'd be fun, you know, find an old tree that you know is 600 years old and travel back in time with that tree. What, you know, what is it? It's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. True.
That reminds me of that scene from the movie. What movie is that? It's like a famous movie, and they're at the Redwood Forest in California, looking at all the rings of the trees and talking about all the history and seeing.
I was just thinking about the red. I was there last weekend.
That's so weird. So was one of our other volunteers.
it's just, it makes you just feel so, wow, these trees have been here so long, and look at us just passing through.
Oh, baby. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have questions for the maker community or any other topics you'd like us to discuss today?
No, I mean, I love that we're partnering in this way, and we'll have you guys here for it. Philadelphia in the 1800s is known as the maker place of the world. A lot of stuff was made here than everyone else, so it's a wonderful fit. You know, I think the seaport fits that well, especially with our connections with water and travel and, you know, how things got from A to B, you know, are really, really relevant to it. So, no, I think excited to have the event and host it. It's going to be great. It's a beautiful fall here in Philadelphia. It's going to be wonderful.
We're excited.
And where can people learn more about the Seaport Museum?
Well, certainly our website, www.phillyseaport.org, has tons of information. And, you know, like I said, it's beautiful. You can walk right down here, especially in the fall, and come on in. We are open every day from 10 to 5. Sometimes we have extended hours for paddle pens landing to hop on a boat. Summertime, we're open later a lot just to kind of capture that wonderful energy. That's here in the waterfront. So,
and of course, we'll have links to the website and all of their social media in the episode text
Well, thank you so much, Mike, for joining us today.
And we'll see you at the Philly Maker Fair.
Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Philly Maker Fair podcast. We're streaming on all platforms, so join us each week. Learn more about today's podcast at phillymakerfair.com.
We're social, so keep in touch. You can find us on Twitter as PHLMake.
Also find us on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, and Pinterest as Philly Maker Fair, all one word. And be sure to hit the subscribe button for future podcasts.
See you next week.
The opinions expressed by the guests of the Philly Maker Fair podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the hosts or producers. If you enjoy the Philly Maker Fair podcast, please consider making a donation at ko-fi.com. That's ko-fi.com. Search for JD Maker or go to ko-fi.com/JDMaker/tiers. Your support helps offset the costs of recording, editing, and maintaining the Philly Maker Fair podcast. Supporters at any of our tiers will receive a shout-out on the podcast and via our social network. Thanks.